Hey everyone, we're going to take a look today at Luke chapter 11 and the mounting challenges that Jesus is facing as he moves toward Jerusalem. This is verse 14. Now when he was casting out a demon that was mute, when the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons," while others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided itself against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. If I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own place, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, and finding none, it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first." As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." So again, as Jesus proceeds toward Jerusalem and continues to advance the kingdom of God by healing, casting out demons, preaching the kingdom, people begin to question him. And it's really what's happening is Jesus is encroaching upon heavily guarded territory. He's encroaching upon the kingdom of Satan. And Satan realizes that his kingdom is threatened. And so it's almost like Jesus has kicked a hornet's nest, and all of these questions and putting him to the test come from that place of a sense of threatening by Satan. When it comes to this miracle, modern people would look at this miracle and read about the miracle and hear and go, "I wonder if it really happened." We are modern skeptics, and that's our question. In the ancient world, they didn't question whether miracles happened. They questioned who did it. And that's precisely what's happening here in the charge against Jesus. They wonder, well, who did it? And some indeed say that Beelzebub did it. Now, Beelzebub comes from the Old Testament. Remember, the name of one of the more prominent gods in Canaan was Baal. That's the Beel part. And Zebub, there's varying interpretations of it, but one sort of derogatory version of it is it means master of excrement or lord of the flies. So it's a derogatory term for a pagan deity. And they're saying that Jesus is casting out demons by this pagan deity. Notice Jesus responds with logic. Okay, he's done a miracle. He has delivered a man. And now he responds with rationality and logic. And he says three things in particular. First, Satan wouldn't work against himself. Satan is not going to oppose his own work, and so that argument doesn't make sense. If he did that, he would be dividing his own house. This is probably, by the way, a jab at the divided house of Israel in the time of the kings. Their house divided, and therefore it didn't stand. So at any rate, Jesus dismisses that and says, that makes no sense. Satan wouldn't work against himself. Then he says, well, that's an interesting charge. You have people among you that cast out demons. I wonder who they're doing it by. In other words, he says, you don't question them. Why is it that you question me? And finally, he says, but if I cast out demons in the name of God, then the finger of God is at work in your midst. And this is actually a quote of Exodus 8:29. And it's interesting because in 8:29, Moses was performing signs before Pharaoh, and the pagan Egyptian magicians were sort of matching him trick for trick. But as the signs advanced, the magicians of Pharaoh couldn't keep up, and they said, this is nothing else than the finger of God. So notice what's happening here. Jesus is putting those who charge him with casting out demons in the name of Beelzebub, he's putting them in the category of these pagan magicians. Again, if they're paying attention, this is quite a charge against them. He's putting them in the category of those who opposed the Exodus. And that quotation from Exodus 8 also reminds us of the whole Exodus context. Remember, just a few verses before in the Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah were talking with Jesus about the Exodus that he was about to undertake. And so these Egyptian magicians were opposing that in Pharaoh's day. And now Jesus is saying the people who are opposing him are opposing that. Jesus here says, you know, Satan is strong. He has real force in the world. He can really do things. But Jesus is saying, I am stronger. I am the stronger man who has come to bind the strong man and to strip him of his power and divide his house. And the whole ministry of Jesus up until his ascension is one of casting Satan out of his place of authority in the world. Notice then he says, whoever is not with me is against me. I want to make an important distinction here. In Luke 9:49, remember the disciples said, oh, Jesus, we saw some people casting out devils in your name, and we told them to stop it. In that instance, Jesus says, those not against us are for us. In other words, hey, guys, they're doing similar work. They're doing it in my name. What's the problem? Notice here, though, Jesus says, whoever is not with me, is against me. Let me put it this way. Disciples must say, whoever is not with us is for us, if they're doing work in Jesus' name. Only Jesus can say, whoever is not with me is against me. And I think that's a very important distinction for Christians to make, especially if we feel like our own church is doing unique and important work that maybe other churches aren't. We must say, if people are trying to do the work of God in Jesus' name, whoever is not against us is with us. Only Jesus can say, whoever is not with me is against me. Finally, this amounts to Jesus demanding or charging people to decide about him. You must decide. Either I am indeed bringing the kingdom of God, or I am not. He is challenging individuals to decide about him. And that's what the church is called to do. We preach Jesus, not ourselves. And we're called to challenge people to make a decision about him. Then Jesus says something interesting. He turns a corner and he says, well, listen, if an unclean spirit is cast out of a person, that could be a bad thing. Why? Well, look, if a person is cleansed and then they don't go on to something better, they're going to be possessed again by something worse. I think here's the idea. Just being exorcised or healed by Jesus isn't the whole work. It isn't the finishing thing. Unless I am cleansed and then filled with the Spirit of God, I'm in a real dangerous place because something worse could happen to me. The point is, the healing or the exorcism is mainly to put us in a place to present ourselves to God. I think Jesus is making the point that Bob Dylan made in his song, you have to serve somebody, either the devil or the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. And it's a similar point that he made in John chapter 5 when he told the man who had been paralyzed for 38 years, go and sin no more, lest something worse happen to you. Worse happens to you. Again, the point is not just the ministry of restoration that Jesus brings upon us, but then offering ourselves to him and asking for the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Finally, in this scene, there's a woman who seems to be on Jesus' side, and we don't know, maybe she was. She says, blessed are the breasts that nursed you and the womb that carried you. And Jesus says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. This woman perhaps is doing a sort of a pious dodge of Jesus' challenge, right? He says, you must decide about me and you must follow me or not. And she says, oh, you're just a great pious person. And oh my goodness, blessed is the woman that bore you. Remember, what made Mary blessed was not that she physically bore Jesus. It's that she heard the word of God and did it. And so I think Jesus is guarding this woman, or at least warning her against thinking, you can just say, oh, Jesus is wonderful, and isn't this wonderful, and think that that is really the right response. He says, no, the question is, do you hear what I'm saying? Do you receive me as the word? And will you live out the call that I am inviting you to? So may we decide. May we see Jesus as the strong man come to bind Satan and destroy his works. May we be delivered by him, and then may we go on and be filled with his life and his Holy Spirit. Amen.